Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're going to get stuck into this. You ready? We're going to have so much fun tonight. This is going to be awesome. I'm seriously so excited. I am so excited. This is going to be brilliant. It's going to be a word tonight. Here's the thing. God says this. He says, my word never returns void to me. It always, everyone say always, accomplishes that for which I sent it forth. It's never once been sent out and come back empty-handed. So tonight, good news for you. God has something awesome for you. He wants to liberate you. He wants to set you free. That's all he ever does. That's all it's in him to do. So, all right, let's go to the word of God. Genesis chapter 15. Are we ready, media team? Thanks for helping us preach tonight. Here we go. Our main character for the story tonight is Abraham. I love this man. I love him because he's just a guy. He doesn't have these enormous, crazy dreams. He just wants a family. And God sees something in this man's life. He's like, that's the father of faith. That's the guy that everyone who believes in me over the years is going to be a descendant of his. So check this out. Genesis chapter 15, are we good? Verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And he said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and he said, look up at the sky, Abram, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Everyone say, that's a lot of kids. Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the endless wonders in your word. Psalm 119, David says, he says, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things in your word. Open our eyes tonight, God. God, let us see wondrous things in your word. Come and change us. We thank you that anytime, Lord, your word and your spirit come into the same place, it's creative power. It's a recipe, Lord, for change. It's a recipe for growth. It's a recipe for the supernatural to happen, Lord, and anything is possible when you're in the house. In Jesus' name, amen. Fantastic. Well, I spent most of my childhood growing up in a lovely little place in the southwest metropolitan area of Sydney called Campbelltown. Campbelltown, there's a B in there. Someone asked me the other day, is that where you guys make all the soup? No, it's not that. But Campbelltown, it's like an hour drive outside of downtown Sydney, and it's the last stop on the Sydney Metropolitan train line, which is punctuated by a full stop known as Campbelltown Station. Campbelltown Station is one of the greatest places in Sydney to get stabbed, beat up, robbed, mugged. And the cool thing was that that's where my school bus, basically was the main junction for the school bus on the way home from high school, where I grew up. Campbelltown is a place, there's memes about Campbelltown. And seriously, it's a meme-worthy place. I think some of the guys, we have found some. Do we have some? Here we go. Go to the next one. Hey, Dad, is this all of Sydney? What's that dark, shadowy place? Campbelltown, Simba. You must never go there. This is a real thing. I don't always fear for my life, but when I do, I'm in Campbelltown. Campbelltown. I've seen that happened to my mum's car. We left it at the station. There we go. All right, that's enough. I think there's another one. That's good. So, I don't know. Say no more. But as if Campbelltown wasn't far enough out there, when I was, I think, about 16, 15 or 16, mum and dad, they're like, we're not far away from where it's all happening. We're going to move out to a little country town called Picton. Picton. It's a rural town. It's another like half an hour drive past Campbelltown. I mean, I was so cut. You know, Campbelltown, it was an interesting place. I still have friends in Campbelltown. I actually have a friend who's building an incredible church. There's some great churches out there, actually. And I have anyone who, if this podcast makes it there, the utmost respect. Because you are absolute, like, it is the Lord. It is the grace of God. And Campbelltown is a place that, I mean, like everywhere, desperately needs the grace of God. God's doing great things out there. But we moved to Picton. It's half an hour past Campbelltown. I guess I was safer there. I mean, I was in less physical danger. But, you know, Campbelltown at least had a mall. And, you know, 15, 16 years of age, that's important, isn't it? Thursday night shopping. We have Thursday night shopping in Australia. It's the shops close at 5 o'clock every day, which means, like, if you have a job, you can never buy anything. But Thursday night, the shops are open till 9, and so we all go to the mall on Thursday night. It's Thursday night shopping, people, and when you're 15, this is a big deal. But we're moving to Picton. I can't drive yet. What am I going to do in Picton? I guess I can see that the hand of God move. I can see the hand of God moving, but at the time, I was so filthy. I was so cut. I was a snotty-nosed little punk rock skater kid. And all my friends were in Campbelltown, but God delivered me from there. And Picton had some great things going on about it. There's a lot of sheep, a lot of goats. There was a little lamb that, like, an actual lamb, you know, like a baby sheep next door. And it used to like, have you ever seen, it was actually, I think it was a baby goat, which is a kid, isn't it? It's a kid. Have you ever seen a goat, like, jump? It's so funny. And just, meh. You know, and it would climb up on a little pile of wood and just jump off. And I'd see that pretty much every morning. But my parents found a great church out in Picton, and I ended up recommitting my life to Christ there, which was amazing. It was all worth it. You know, like, in my house, I'm one of six kids. And so in the house there at Picton, we were always challenged for space. I think it was like a 1, 2, 3, 4-bedroom house. But there's six kids. You know, so, and I'm number four of six. And so, but my brothers and sisters, they're always coming and going, like, you know, my sister's moving back in, or she's moving out, new boyfriend, she's moving in with him, and she's there for 6 months, and there's a massive fight, and the cops are called, and she's back at home, and there's tears. And I mean, this is it was normal for me. You know, when you grow up and you don't realize that some things are like, this is actually not actually normal. But anyway, I was just like, it's like, this is life. And so, anyway, I think I was 16, 17 years old, and my sister had lived in a caravan out the back. A caravan is our word for a trailer. We had a trailer out the back of our house in Picton. It's so funny, now looking back on it. At the time, it was normal, you know. She's living out there, and I don't know, I can't remember what happened. I think she got married and you know, obviously moved in with her husband. And so I got to go and move out to the trailer in the backyard. I was so excited. I mean, having my own bedroom growing up was a novelty. I got freedom, you know? I'm like living in a caravan, a trailer out the back. And I'd just gotten reconnected with God, like, in that time frame. And that caravan became like my prayer spot. I remember I went, and this is just a period of about 3 years where God just started to build into my life and grow me as a person and grow me as a believer. But one of the things I loved about being out there is in the trailer was that because it's a rural town and we lived about 5 minutes drive outside of the rural town, the stars at night were absolutely mesmerizing, just breathtaking. A funny fact, and I don't mean to brag, but in the Southern Hemisphere, you can see 100 times more stars at night because you're looking directly into the heart of the Milky Way. And so I would like, you know, I had to walk outside to go to my house. I had to go to my house, go to my trailer. So funny. And I'd look up and I'd be like, oh, just take my breath away. And so I'd just do Wayne's World and just lie on the hood of my car and just like look up at it. It was absolutely awesome. I find it incredible that God designed it this way, that during the day we can't really see much up, but we can see the world, so we can make a difference on our planet. But at night you can't see as much around us, but you can see heaven. And so I feel like there's something there. At night we're meant to be looking up in awe. And I find it amazing that God designed our world this way, that when you look up, you can see millions and millions of miles into outer space. You can see other worlds. I looked at Venus. I'm a stargazer. I've got the app, the Stargazer app. When you hold it up, you can see that's Venus. I was watching Venus last night off my balcony. Venus. You can see it, you know? This blows my mind. I mean, who knows what's happening there? Jupiter is visible from my place. And yours. Last year, I had the incredible honor of going over to Israel with about 40 or so people from our church. It was incredible. Every day, we'd be out exploring, seeing the incredible sights of Israel. The first place we stayed was right by the Sea of Galilee. And it sounds so funny just saying it. Yeah, we stayed by the Sea of Galilee. It's amazing. And so we're on this hotel right beside the Sea of Galilee, and we'd come back and we'd hang, and it was so much fun. We just hang out at night and dinner, and then we're chilling and partying, and it was beautiful. So I go upstairs, Irina and I would go up to the hotel room in like right by the Sea of Galilee. You know when you have that feeling, it's like I need to pray. You got that draw on your heart. So I had this draw on my heart. I'm like, I need to go pray. And our room had this beautiful terrace that opened up, and I'm like, you're looking at the Sea of Galilee at night, you know. So I go out there, I've got my iPhone, my headphones, it's got some deck chairs, I'm just lying out there, and the Sea of Galilee's there. And I looked out and I could see a ghostly figure walking to me across. No, I didn't really see that. But that would have been awesome, right? It's a ghost! But I'm looking up. How good would that be? It would be freaky. But I'm lying on this deck chair. I've got my worship music in. And I realize I'm looking at the same stars Abraham looked at when God said, come outside, look up and count the stars. He was counting the same stars I was looking at. It was an incredible experience. It was like I must have seen about maybe 4 or 5 shooting stars in the space of half an hour. It was absolutely incredible. Sorry, I'm going to refer to my notes a little bit. I haven't done a whole lot of this, so are you with me? But Abraham, God called him the father of faith, the father of our faith. That means that everybody who is made righteous by God through faith, is that anybody here? We're a descendant of his. He was the pioneer. And there was something about how he believed and what happened in his life that God says, that's what my children are going to follow after. So my beautiful friends here in our creative team are going to bring you something that's just going to help preach this message. Here we go, guys. Thank you. Beautiful. So good. Amazing. Thank you so much, guys. Brilliant. Thank you. That's absolutely brilliant. And thank you, Joel. Joel made that track and everything. It was absolutely amazing. Thank you, guys. Incredible. So good. Love our worship and creative team. Amazing. And all of that footage, it doesn't look real, but that's real. That's a time lapse of stars as they move through the earth. And if you just fast forward what we're looking up at, you see that God is parading heaven before us, before our eyes every single night for us to look at. It's incredible. I feel like Chris Martin from Coldplay with that song has tapped into one of the most prophetic pictures that God has given us. And so God, in his dealing with Abraham, he says, come outside. I need to bring you outside of your tent, outside of your confinement, outside of what you see when you look up. And I need you to see heaven. I need you to see the endless promises that I have for you. But why did he choose stars? Why didn't he just leave it at they're going to be your descendants are going to be like the sand on the seashore? Why didn't he say they're going to be like the grass of the fields or something else poetic that the Bible, like your descendants shall be like the sheep that frolic in the pastures or something. He said your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky. And come outside and don't just have a quick look. Count them if you can. I think it's amazing that maybe he knew that one day Abraham would be walking through a dark night and he'd need to look up and see the reminder when it's dark all around him. Because what happened? Abraham believed God at his word that seemed so out there that he was going to have a kid. And at 100 years of age, he and Sarah, they have a wonderful night, dinner. Sarah falls pregnant at 90 years. He's 100, she's 90. Sarah gets pregnant, they have this baby. 100 years old. No wonder they called the kid Isaac, which means laughter. You know what I mean? Telling you the story and you're laughing. But their simple dream had come true. They'd seen God move in their life. Anyone who has struggled to have a baby and have a miracle child in your arms, only you can know the elation that causes. So their lives are different. They're 100 years of age and they've got a toddler around the house. There's toys everywhere. Abraham gets up in the morning, make the coffee. Treads on a piece of Lego. It's the worst. They got to load the donkey up, take him to school, soccer practice, whatever they played back then. At 100, you know? Amazing. Their God dream became a reality. But one day, Abraham's out by the Mamre trees. If you read the story of Abraham, he's such a cool guy. He's out by the Mamre trees where he would talk and commune with God. And God said to him in Genesis 22, he says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. Beautiful answer. He's present. He's not in the future. He's not in the past. I'm here, God. And God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Early the next morning, what a guy. Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Wait. 3 days' journey. He's got to do the hardest thing you could. I mean, your brain can't really comprehend what it is. We read it like it's just normal. I had to go sacrifice a child. It's out there. 3 days of trekking. 3 days. Two servants, a donkey, his son. Loaded with wood, a fire. Got to keep that thing burning, and a knife, no matches. You know what I mean? It's not easy to start a fire. 3 days means two nights. That means two nights camping out. He's lying there, questions. He's wrestling. He's got his beautiful Isaac. What he's believed God for, the promise of God. What God's given him this dream, and Isaac is the what God has said. This is how I'm going to fulfill my promise to you is through this the son of your own flesh and blood. He's lying there, questions, wrestling. And he says, God, I know I heard you that night when we were praying and you said my descendants would be like the stars of the sky. I know that was you. So God, I'm gonna start counting. I don't know, maybe they were outside. Maybe he just lie there and just count the stars, and just be like, okay, I'm gonna believe. I'm gonna rehearse the promises of God in the night season. I'm gonna just count one. It's like, God, I'd be happy for one if I could just keep Isaac. But I know this is you. I know you're talking to me. I know you're speaking to me. I know this is what you're saying to me. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He starts counting. We've got to rehearse the promises of God. We have to count them. We have to remind ourselves in the night seasons. We've got to actually declare and remind ourselves of what God has spoken. He's given us a billion gleaming lights over our head to be able to look up and see that that is a witness that God's promise is for us. The darkest night season that I have ever had to walk through, and I don't know, maybe some of you, I don't know, some of you might know the story, but my wife of 7 years in 2010 decided that she didn't want to be married anymore, didn't want to follow Jesus anymore, didn't want to be part of what we're doing, out of the blue. And so I'm good now. Like, don't, I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. It's not why I'm saying this, but a darker night than I thought I would ever have to walk through, and pain and confusion. She's my wife. She's my best friend. Met at college, dated, were there for each other. We left Australia to help plant C3 San Diego, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, and she decides to peace out. But do you know what? As much as it hurt like crazy on the emotional part of my world, and there'd be something wrong if it didn't, right? It took me 3 years to work through that, the grief process and counseling. The bedrock foundation of what's in my heart was actually never shaken. And it wasn't until that storm that I saw as a blazing, shining light, Romans 8:28. It says, we know that God makes all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. But that, I wouldn't have seen that as bright and as brilliantly blazing in my life if it wasn't for the darkness around me that I was walking through. But thank God that He has called the stars in the sky as a witness that His promise never changes. Can I trust Him? Look up at the sky. They're still there. The stars are still there. This universe came out of His mouth. And it hasn't stopped working because His word holds all things together. And as long as this universe keeps ticking, then I know that His promises will never die. God is not a man that He should lie. What has He spoken over your life? He has every plan, every intention. He will bring it to pass. God will be true to His word in your life time and time and time again. He will never let you down. The Bible says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. You can trust in Him. His name is great because His word is great. He only has a great name because His word is trustworthy and true. His greatness sits on top of the mountain of His goodness. If God wasn't good, He wouldn't be so great. You know what I mean? If God was all powerful but not all loving, he doesn't just have a great name. If someone's reputation gets tarnished when they don't live up to their word, amen? We don't trust Him. But God, He is trustworthy. The Bible says He has elevated His word and His name above all things. And He will, if it's not good, then it's not over. If something in your life is not good, then it's not finished. God is not finished in your life. That situation, if it's not good, then it's not over. Isn't that good news? He's going to make it good. He will make it work together for your good in Jesus' name. It's not just positive thinking. This is the word of God. We hang our eternal salvation on this thing. If it's not good, then it's not over. God did come through in my dark night. I have the most beautiful woman, literally the most beautiful woman on the planet, is in the room tonight, and she's my wife. Thank you, God. So when they reached the place, back to Genesis 22, when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there. Gets the stones, stacks them up. He arranged the wood on it. He bound his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Sounds like someone else's son. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am." He replied, shaking with emotion at this point. Can you believe what he's about to do? "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." What God was saying is, it's not going to be your son on the altar, Abraham. It's going to be mine. That ram caught in the thicket is our Jesus with his crown of thorns. Jesus took the place of every single one of us on that altar. Because of that ram, because of Jesus taking our place on the altar, we are able to live under an open heaven, under a sky that is laden with the goodness of God. Jesus, having absorbed all the punishment that we deserved for the wrongs that we did, all of that is washed away. Now in Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. In him, the Bible says, all the fullness of God dwells, everything he is and everything he has. In Romans 8:32, it says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" If he gives us Jesus, how much more is he not going to give us healing? How much more is he not going to give us financial blessing? How much more is he not going to give us freedom from fear, freedom from insecurity? He's not going to give us Jesus, but I can't afford to give you something else. It makes Jesus second rate. Everything that God has, everything that God is available to you. If you have Christ, if you have Jesus and you have nothing else, you still have everything. You have access to all that God is and all that God has. What do you need? What do you need tonight? What do you want? It's not just about what you need. It's what do you desire? Mark 11:24 says, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." That's Mark 11. It's Jesus himself. He says that. What do you want? There's a blind man walking through the streets. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want? What do you desire? What do you need? Sometimes it's like we don't ask because we don't have a desire. It's like, what is God going to answer? The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold. No good thing will he withhold. In Christ, all the fullness of God dwells. He is our ram caught in the thicket. He is our lamb. And because of him, we can walk under an open heaven. He is your sky full of stars. He is your open heaven. When you look up, you can look up and count those stars and know that that's the promises of God for your life. Everybody close your eyes. Every eye closed, every head bowed. We thank you, Jesus, that you are here in this place. God, we thank you. God, that it was you that took our place on that altar. God, we need you in our lives. We don't want to live under a closed heaven. We want to live under an open heaven. And I thank you, God, that in Jesus, that's what we have access to.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.